Blog Talk Radio.
This pot smells delicious.
Again, y'all know what it is. We live from Harlem. It's your man, DJ Big Stu, up in the building, doing it on a Saturday evening, 9 p.m. Special, very, very special show today. I got a really great guest in the building. That was the artist, Maura G's, the new joint. I love my weave. I love my hair. 18-year-old Maura G's out of East Harlem, definitely doing her thing. You know what I'm saying? This is her second song that she's dropping. We definitely supporting her over here at Big Stu Radio. My guest today is somebody that actually y'all getting a real treat today, because before I even get into all that, y'all make sure y'all follow us at Beef Stew Radio on Twitter, number 11. Follow at us on Instagram, Beef Stew 110. Make sure you go to our Roku TV channel, on Roku TV, on your smart TVs, your Apple devices, and check out Beef Stew Radio TV. See the new videos, TV shows, and we also, you know, we're doing the movie The Uncelebrated Pioneer, the history of Harlem hip hop, and that's why you guys got a great treat today. I got my homie OG, one of the guys in my neighborhood that me and all my friends used to look up to. Actually was a real good friend of mine's older brother at the same time. My man Johnny Davis in the building. Johnny, you here with us, brother?
Yeah, how you doing, Kev?
What's good, Johnny, man? Welcome to the show, man. Thanks for coming on, man, and chatting with me for a minute, man.
Well, thanks for having me.
Now, you know, first of all, like, just tell them a little bit about yourself, like, where you from and how, you know, and, you know, our kind of connection, you know, let them know on your end, you know?
Well, you know, we lived in the same building in East Harlem, Spanish, some people call it, refer to it as Spanish Harlem, right there on 110th Street, Lexington Avenue. And you know, we come up from a really rich neighborhood. I mean, I don't mean rich as far as money, even though I guess there was some money there, but I mean as far as culturally, you know what I mean? We have a little everything going on in our community, and I'm very proud of where I come from.
Yeah, that's right. No doubt, no doubt. Now, when we was growing up, John, you know better than everybody, like, the gangs was different back then. You yourself being a member of, like, one of the well-known, most famous gangs back then, I think it was the Renegades of Harlem, am I correct?
Right, Renegades of Harlem. And sometimes they had it in Spanish, Renegados de El Barrio.
All right.
Sometimes
now,
they had,
like,
it on their jackets in Spanish.
Like, tell us, how did you get into the gang, you know, back then, and what age was you in, and how did it all come about?
Well, I was about 17, 18 years old. And, you know, matter of fact, this is the first time you're really talking about this, because if some of my friends back then knew that I had gotten in the gang, they would have been pretty much upset with me, because I knew a lot of them that were, you know, a lot of the OGs that were older than I were. You know, I knew the president of the Imperial Spartans. That was a gang. I knew some of the big guys from the Wild Aces. I knew some guys from the Savage Samurais. One of my little brothers was a Savage Samurai. So, you know, really, when you really look at it, oh, don't let me forget the Fountain Brothers. I had a friend that was also a Fountain Brother. That was a pretty much an all-black gang. They used to hang out in Central Park at that time. But I really had no business being in the game, but it was something that I did. And, you know, pretty much the reality of it is I did it just to try to get around the girls, you know, the Puerto Rican girls at that time.
Okay. No doubt. I hear you. Now, you know, at the time, y'all was basically like the graffiti, hip-hop was beginning, you know, and all that was around you at the same time, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I mean, that was big back then. I mean, you know, you had the Ronnie Greens, you know, you had the Ray Vaughns, you had, just a whole lot. We had, of course, we had, our, you know, Jeff Schuffler, our Jazzy Jeff. We had Brian Lucy. He would bring his equipment out and do that thing. God bless him. And, you know, it was just, if we had a brother named Louie Lou, I don't know if you remember him. He used to take his equipment out there on 115th Street, Lexington Avenue. Yeah.
Yeah, he's from I remember Louie Lou.
Yeah.
No doubt.
So
we still had Dr. Jeff Hyde in our building, in our project.
Yes, yes. Alonzo Brown, yes. And, you know, I can remember when they were doing their rhymes, you know, reading it off a piece of paper, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, him and Andre Harrell was always around all the time. So, you know, and so we got to see those guys when they were first, you know, starting out. You know, it was a lot going on in our neighborhood. I mean, we had Alex Ramos, you know, Golden Gloves, Hector Camacho didn't live far away. People like Whoopi Goldberg, Joe Batan used to hang out in our neighborhood. You know, so, you know, even to this day, I'm willing to bet you a majority of us, if we see somebody famous, we don't sweat, we don't, you know, chase them around. You know, we're like, yeah, we don't see it at all. You know what I mean? So, you know, like, that's why I said in the beginning of the show, we had a very rich, rich neighborhood. And it was a lot of talent, a lot of people, you know, in our neighborhood.
Out of all the groups you would say back in the days, who you would say to you, Johnny, was the best group in the beginning?
But you mean as far as well-known rappers or like from our
era, and you know, like the time with Jekyll and Hyde and all of them started off, but the brothers that was representing Harlem.
Well, like I said a few minutes ago, you know, it was mostly the way I remember it, even before them, it was like Ronnie Green and, you know, brother Ray Vaughn. I know you remember him. And, you know, that brother right there, I can remember, man, people would come from other areas to come over there and try to challenge him. And by the end of the day, he was still out there wolfing. You know what I'm saying? So that dude could go on for hours at a time. You know what I mean? Maybe that dude, that brother was no joke, man. He was no joke, man.
And you know the difference back then, John? Like, it could be outside. Like, they can't have jams outside like we had back then.
Yeah. Yeah, well, let me tell you, you know, every now and then we had our little incidents, but pretty much you're right, Kev. I mean, you could bring your equipment outside and have a good time. And, you know, keep in mind, though, at the same time, you know, the rappers was really, it was really just really beginning to start become a rapper thing, because back then when you were emceeing, you were really showcasing your DJ back then. Mm-hmm. It was all about the DJ back then. So, because, you know, we had little DJ Spivey, and like I said before, we had Louie Lou and people like that from our neighborhood. But as I remember it, it was all about the DJ Fresh. If you remember the early songs with Grandmaster Flash and whatnot, it was always Flash is this, Flash is that. Remember that? So that's how it used to be. It used to be all about your DJ, how well he could cut the music, how well he could blend the music and whatever. And so mostly when we went to a party, I'll be honest with you, I didn't go there to listen to the rapper. I went there to listen to the cuts. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to hear somebody rock the turntables. You know what I mean?
What was
a matter of fact,
No, go ahead, finish.
Yes, sir. But I was going to say, you know, during that time, you know, some of the really popular songs back then was, you know, like Super Sperm and Dog a Donut and Apache. You know, those were the main songs that was going on back then. So, that's how it was back then. So, as a matter of fact, we didn't even call it rap or hip-hop back then. We used to just say, who's jamming? Who's rocking?
Yeah,
you know, and
exactly.
Of course, the parents called it racket. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it didn't even have a name back then. I guess the rap or hip hop just kind of got on it late on. That's about now. Somebody could tell you, probably tell you something differently, but to my knowledge, that's how it went down. We really didn't call it rap or hip hop. We just said, you know, who's rocking.
Yeah, it didn't get to become rap until maybe the 1980s, you know, when they had Yo MC Raps and things like that. Back then,
yeah,
it was really the MCs
yeah,
was like
Sugar Hill Gang.
Yeah, Sugar Hill Gang. It wasn't really rap or rappers. Dudes was MCs and DJs, you know?
Right.
MCs.
Right.
Now,
right.
The one thing I wanted to ask you, like, when you see, like, the gangs behind the music now, was y'all be taking care of rappers like now, you know, a lot of rappers go to shows and they have their clique with them. Was it like that with y'all back in the days when y'all was y'all holding some other type of DJs down or something like that in that time?
Well, go ahead, Kev. Go ahead.
Was there any other crews doing it?
Well, the crew that I mostly hung with, you know, was with, you know, Jazzy Jeff and, Jazzy Jeff and Brian Lucy and him. You know, we pretty much were all just good friends. And so, you know, one of us had to help carry the crates, one of us had to help carry the records, and we were all just good friends just trying to go out and have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure, you know, I can't speak for other groups, but that's how it was with our group.
And you didn't even have problems back then. It wasn't like nobody trying to take the equipment. I mean, it might have been. I think it was a couple of things that happened back then, but not constantly like now at places.
No, it wasn't. I mean, of course, we had our issues every now and then. But, no, it was. Now, we didn't have it the way it is now. I mean, something is you know, something is going on with that. But, you know, for the most part, you know, for the most part, we didn't have any problems. But then again, at the same time, you really out there really making that money, you know what I mean? That changes things, you know what I'm saying? So I can't say we weren't making, they weren't making a little change, you know, doing what they were doing. But still, you know, I guess we could say the ones that was really making a few dollars or whatever, I guess they really had to watch themselves, you know?
Yeah, no question. Like, when you see the initiation now, into the gangs, like, I used to hear about the Apache line. Was that something true back in the days? Like, cats used to have to go through the Apache line to get in those type of games, like the Renegade.
I heard of that before, but I didn't see it myself. I've seen a few guys get lit up, but that's because they did some things that they probably shouldn't have. But, you know, I didn't really see that as prevalent, man. I mean, I got a story I could tell you about that, though. You want me to tell it? Well, check this out, man. I never told anybody this story, man. So, here I go. So, we were all together. They decided that they wanted to go down to Alphabet City, the Renegades. You know what I mean? So, a bunch of us. I mean, it was a lot. I mean, a lot of us. So, there was this gang. I think the gang was called the Sincerian Dragons. So we went down there, and, you know, Roy, who was the president at the time, that dude was something else. I tell you what, you know, this dude had the scariest eyes you could ever see. Boy, that dude was scary, though. Anyhow, they told everybody, don't nobody leave, you know what I mean? So we went down there, we started hanging out with them, the Sincerian Dragons, and we end up at this club and whatever this and that. So it was a lot of activity going on and dancing and screaming and hollering. You know how you do it. So I decided, you know, me and my friend Richie, God bless him, I don't know where he is, man. Somebody told me he passed away, but, you know, man, it'd be nice if I could see him again. But anyhow, I decided I wanted to go home and eat and come back. So I went home, came back, must have took me about 2 hours, 2 hours and a half, whatever. So I went, man, you know, had something to eat, changed up, washed up a little bit, you know, went back on over to the club. So when I got in there, I looked around and I didn't see nobody in there. So I was like, wow, where everybody at? You know, like, yeah, I'm thinking, well, maybe they hold up somewhere with some girls or whatever, you know what I mean? So I'm standing there, then one dude, Spanish dude, came in there. He said, yo, you a Renegade? I said, yeah. I said, what's up, man? He said, what's up, bro? I said, hey, nothing, man. You know, where everybody at? Oh, man, be right. Hold on, man. We be right back. So I'm standing there waiting, like, thinking, well, everybody going to come around or whatever. And he come back in there maybe about 15 minutes later with two Doberman pinches. So I'm looking at the dude like, okay, he in there with two Doberman pinches. So I'm looking at him with the dogs, and then somebody came behind me, man, and choked the life out of me. I mean, cut off my windpipe like a mug. I mean, I was done. So I didn't know what happened. See, what happened was they had a rumble that early that morning. So I didn't know. So the dude just cut off my windpipe. I mean, cut off my windpipe like a mug, man. So there was this brother there. And he was standing in there, and he pleaded with the dude. He said, yo, man, let him go, man. He didn't know. He came in peace. He didn't know. You know what I mean? So the dude let me go. And he said, get out of here, man. Get out of here, man. And I took off Kev. You know, I was a fast runner when I was little, man. Man, I flew down the street, bro. I mean, man, bro, I flew straight down to the train. And I swore he let them Dobermans go. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't know that they had a rumble that night, man. But I guess we can say that the Most High had a better plan for me that day, man, because, you know, I could have even been killed and nobody would know nothing about it. And as a matter of fact, when I really think about it, if I had stayed during that rumble, they'll tell you I might have got shot or stabbed. You know what I'm saying? So it's a funny it's a funny thing how things go. We never know. But definitely the Most High was definitely looking out for me that day, man. You know, so, man, that was a story I never told nobody. And so when I got back, I did not even tell them what happened, because you know what would have happened. Because they would have got mad at me, but then they would have made me go back over there, find out who it was, would have been a whole big thing, and those dudes right there were ruthless. I mean, they would have just burned the whole town down. I mean, so I did not even tell them what happened. So it wasn't long after that that I had got out of the gang after that.
Okay. Was it easy to get out? Like, you know, you hear stories. How did you get out?
Well, I kind of phased out on my own kind of, but then at that time, it was breaking. You know, the gang thing was really phasing out at that time. You know, remember we had the black spades and all that and African Bambaataa and all them. You know, some people may see it differently, but, you know, back then it was a thing where they kind of faded out. The gang thing kind of just, you know, kind of fizzed out. And then people just started breaking off into little crews and stuff. You know what I mean? So, you know, you can almost imagine. I was very surprised when I found out, man, now that they got these Bloods and Crips going on down there now. And I asked one of our OGs from our neighborhood, You know, I said, Mark, I said, what happened, man? He said, man, you dropped the ball. I said, yeah, apparently so. But I was like, how did that happen? You know, because the gang thing just fizzled out, and then this thing pops back up, man. That's, you know, man, I tell you what. I mean, but, hey.
It started in Rikers Island over here, you know. It became like, you know, one crew with one set of people was dominant. So then another Crips, it's not more like the California thing. They really based out of gang, but then they come home out of prison. You know what I mean? I mean, when they come home out of prison. But it really started in Rikers Island, you know, in New York. The New York Crips and Bloods, they started fighting each other. And, you know, first it was the Blacks and Spanish. You know, they had the Latin Kings in there. You know, at one point in time, the Latin Kings were dominating Rikers Island.
Right.
You know, and you know, tearing up the Black Cats. Now then it became the opposite. You know, they created the Bloods, you know what I mean? They started thinking those Bloods were like sticking together. And I guess they started to outnumber them. The Crips came in there because I guess some of the cats that didn't want to be part of the Blood gang started getting bullied by the Crips also with the Latin King. I mean by the Bloods. The Crips started getting bullied by the Bloods with the Latin Kings, so they got together. But that's how they started. It's not like more like the California thing. They came from more like crews in jail.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate, man, because you United, man, we can do just about anything, man. But that's unfortunate, man. But
you know, you
talk
about that too. That'll tell you more about your younger brother, your second younger one, your younger brother Henry.
Henry.
Yeah, he works at Rikers Island.
He's doing what he has to do, and you know, I'm very proud of him too, man. He's really, you know, got a head on his shoulders, man, and making a name for himself and doing what he has to do, man. He's a really positive dude, so you know, I'm proud of him.
Did the gangs go and like, is it true when you see Warriors, people say, was it that everybody left and got down with Zulu Nation? Like, did the Renegades, Black Spades, and all of them come together and say, we're going to be Zulu Nation? Was that what really happened?
If that's what happened, I missed that. I wasn't there. By that time, by the time I phased out of the gang thing, I turned around and started getting more into the graffiti thing. And then I tried to get up in there. You know, I didn't really get up like my friends did. Most notably, my friend, David Patron, a.k.a. Sly 108, you know, was, you know, one of the most well-known graffiti writers that I knew. And I used to hang with him and roll with them guys. And, you know, and it's a funny thing. You could pull it, just by pulling his name up on Google. And it showed you he was came in the sixth line back then, you know.
Yeah.
So I started doing the graffiti thing, and you know, and so I was, you know, I got blessed. I was able to phase out of the gang thing with no trouble, and you know, they just kind of, you know, and by that time things were pretty much breaking up, and so I got out with no scratches, you know what I mean? Just that, you know, that near death incident that happened. But other than that, you know, that was pretty much the only thing. And then, you know, there were a couple of little wild things in between there that happened. But I got blessed right there.
Now that's dope. Let's start talking about the graffiti, man. Let's talk about how you got into that. Like, and was you down with a certain clique? I know they had like the Fabulous Five back then, supposed to be like that, right? Somebody like that, Fab Five or something like that, and a couple of crews back then. Who was the best? Who was like the, was y'all battling crews, and was, how was it with the police? Because you know, now around our block, they got the wall of flame on 106th Street. And it's a legal wall that everybody comes from all over and see graffiti. About 13, you probably know the school 13, 13 wall.
Yeah, high school 13.
Yeah, 13 wall is a big wall now.
Well, the crew that I was with was Sly's crew, which was TS. That means the squad. And then there was a couple of friends of mine that I knew, Puerto Rican brother named Space 107. And he had, I think it was a TYB crew. It was the BYB crew, you know, Bad Yard Boys, you know, the Yard Boys, you know. So I pretty much was a TS, which meant the squad. I was pretty much up on the Slides crew. So, and of course, we had associates that were part of other people's crews right there. And a matter of fact, you know, that was a very strange, that was a very strange company to keep because, you know, a lot of these rappers, they were darkly characters, you know, secretive, you know what I mean? And I even had the privilege of a couple of times even being able to sit on writer's bench over there on 149th Street and Grand Concourse. And, you know, sit down there, and sometimes I play hooky from school and go over there, sit down on a bench right there, and then every now and then you see some, you know, some darkly dude, yo, what's up, man? You know, remember back then we had the head nod back then. You didn't even have to talk. It was like a, you know, just a simple head nod. What's up? You know what I mean? And they would say, yo, what you writing? Oh, man, and they would show me that book, you know, a couple of ideas that they had they want to put up on the train and stuff. So, man, it was a, you know, it was a lot of fun. You know, I met a lot of mysterious people, you know, back then. That's how it was. You know, we had the, of course, you know, hip-hop meaning, you know, with the break dancing and the graffiti and the rap, you know, and the, you know, and the rap going on back then. So that's pretty much what it was.
Where was some of the most, like, where was more, some of the most famous places that y'all would tag on back then? Like, what line would y'all go to? What train yard y'all used to go to back then?
Well, when I did, like I said before, I'm not going to pretend like I got up like my friends did, but I did a little bit, you know. I pretty much would get on the 6th line, you know, and do a little tag now and then. But really, man, I just got a kick out of watching my friends do it, you know what I'm saying? But we got, you know, I got my tags in or whatever, and, you know, I did my little damage. But, man, I'll tell you a story about that, man. So one day, man, we were on the train writing stuff, right? The police called us, right? So my friend said, oh, man, they got us right there. So he said, yo, he said, if he asked you what you write, tell him a little name, you know what I mean? So some of us said, it, and some of us said, is, you know. So they took the magic markers and wrote it on our shirts. And then one of the guys, they took the spray paint, wrote it on his shirt. It was so funny, man. I mean, man, we had some adventures back then, man. The things we do as kids, man, is something else, man.
I want to ask you about the danger action with the police back then because, you know, the 70s is crazy. Like, it wasn't even no laws. You know, it's crazy now with the police with young black teens, but what about when you was in the graffiti and the gangs and doing the little hip hop part? You know, tell me about the run-ins with the police and how it was. And I know it's probably dangerous in some of those aspects.
Well, the most dangerous thing we did was when we jumped down on the tracks. That was really dangerous. Right. Now that I think about it now, I mean, that was the foolishest thing that you can do. And one time the police was chasing us through the tracks. And guess what, Kev? You know me, you know, I'm short anyway, right?
Yeah.
So people don't realize how high the platform is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I'm running, and you think you could just jump up back up on the platform, not so. So I had to run all the way back to the end to where the steps were so that I could get up because it was too high for me to jump up. I mean, it was almost over my head, you know what I'm saying, to get back on the top of the platform, not to mention the fact how dangerous it is. You know, if you touch that third rail, I mean, forget about it.
Yeah.
I mean, you touch that third rail, man, that you're done. So, but sometimes we're not thinking about that when we're young. We think we can just do about anything we want to do, you know, just fearless, you know, not really thinking of consequences. Something really tragic could have happened like that. And I've heard stories. This was years ago. I heard a story of a writer. I can't remember his name, but supposedly he tried to escape by riding on top of the train. And then when he lifted his head up, the beam, boom, took his head.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's some dangerous stuff, man, doing that, man. But those guys, I've looked at a couple of documentaries about that, man. Those guys were really doing some, I mean, you know, I'm sure the police are not saying, wouldn't agree that that was some good stuff. But from our point of view, these guys were putting up some pretty good artwork. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
These guys were they were bad, man.
Was there any, like, you know, because you hear about people tag over other people's tags. Was there ever any confrontations with y'all over somebody tagging over your tag or y'all tagging over their tag?
I didn't experience that. I didn't experience that. And when I did write, when me and Sly would go tagging, me and some of our crew would go tagging, we didn't have that mindset. I don't know if they did on their own when we weren't together, but we didn't really have that mindset to go over somebody's name, whatever. We found a spot to do. It wasn't that kind of thing. But I've heard, I've heard the stories of that. You know, yeah, that did go on a lot, you know, tagging over somebody's name or writing over somebody's name. And, you know, we didn't get ugly like that with the crew that I was with. We didn't get ugly like that.
What,
we just looked for a clean spot to hit them.
What were some of the famous spots that you partied in, like the clubs that you rocked in?
Well, I've been in Harlem Well a couple of times. That was real. That was fun. Of course, you know, we had our theater art center downstairs, right out in the back of our yard, which was well known. A lot of people came there as well. And I've been to the Audubon. No, I did not go to the Audubon Ballroom, which I did. I did not get a chance to go there. I had chances, but think about this, Kev. At that time, this was going on everywhere, so we pretty much took it for granted. You know what I'm saying? It's not like, you know, we went out our way to go to these places because, you know, so what? You know, that was going on. Now, we're talking about it now, looking at it in hindsight. Wow, that was pretty spectacular what was going on. But during the time when we were in it, it was just, he's doing his thing, I'm doing my thing, he's rapping, he's DJing. It was just something that everybody was doing. I don't think anybody was thinking it was going to get to what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I've been to Hollywood a couple of times. I didn't go to the Renaissance, which I had. I never did go to the Rennie. And remember, think about this, Kev. This is strange. I'm 57 years old, right? And as old as I am, I believe it or not, you know, this rap thing was going on strong even when I was just 16, 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So that's how long this hip-hop thing had been going on.
Wasn't even on the radio. I can remember the times when it wasn't on the radio. And kids can't even, and like your kids couldn't even imagine that when no rap is on the radio. Like when we only could hear a rap song in the hood.
Yes. And you know what? In some ways, you know, I mean, a lot of people have made money off of it, and I can understand that, you know, it's grown to what it is. But you know what? Back then, it was our thing. It was our thing when it was like that. It was a way to, you know, charge a couple of dollars at the door, get a little hustle. You know, it kept, you know, I'm not telling how many countless of brothers that kept off the street from having to hustle or sell drugs or whatever. If you could charge $2 at the door, you know, for people coming to probably put a little stamp on their hand and earn a few dollars like that. You know, it was our thing. It was localized. It was for the people, by the people. Now it's commercialized and it's gotten all this stuff. And, you know, then you got the, you know, the killings and the fightings and the shootings and all this stuff, man, it wasn't invented to be for that. It was really a way for us to vent and have a good time and, you know, and do our own thing amongst ourselves as brothers and sisters. And then all of a sudden, man, this thing just took off, man, to another direction, man. We don't even want to go into, man. So, some of it's gotten out of hand, but, you know, what can we do? You know, it was our thing back then. I can admit that.
Yeah, it definitely was. You know, it was like, you know, records like Drummer's Beat and, like you said, records like Apache. And it was like they'll play it over and over again, you know. It was no, like, sampling the record. The DJ had to be good and cut it on time. And the DJ was the sampler. It was at its rarest form. And the messed up part is that the feeling of that is missed. But I want to ask you this, like, you know a lot of the greatest and the top MCs that helped put this in the game. We all know it started in the Bronx from Grandmaster Flash and Kool Herc. But what we're doing in this documentary, we're giving the uncelebrated pioneers, you know, like yourself from the to the from the gang things and all that. But you know, we was there too. Harlem was there at the same time, right there when it started. And a lot of the top guys like Kool Moe Dee and Chevy Kev and a few of the other guys that Ray Vaughn and them, they was all from Harlem and they was out then too.
Yes, yes, yes. These guys were very approachable. I mean, they were those neighborhood guys. You know what I mean? They were right there. They were, you know, we could see them every day. You could say hello. Hey, how you doing? You could talk to them, walk with them, talk with them. You know, it was, like I said, you know, it was our thing. These guys were, you know, in our neighborhood, and they were just doing what they were doing, and you were doing what you were doing. You know what I mean? And that's how it was. It was our thing, like I said. And you know, it blew up. It took off. And now this thing is up. You know, took off into the stratosphere now, I guess. So, you know, I guess that's the progression of it.
Do you listen to rap now?
I listen to, I'm going to tell you, I'm as old school as you can get. I mean, I don't even like some of the stuff that's coming out now. Even though I prefer some of the underground stuff I'm hearing, like Papoose, and you know, there's a couple of other, you know, rappers that I do, you know, a couple of old school stuff that I do like, you know, but Papoose is pretty much what's going on now, and I guess there's some other, you know, rappers that's going on now, but I don't really too much like the flavor now, you know. I like Buckshot, you know. I remember, you know, I pretty much would listen to, you know,
listen,
some of the old Grandmaster Flash. Yeah.
You don't listen to the Migos or nothing, huh?
Huh?
You don't listen to the Migos?
Nah, man. You know what? If I heard them, I'm not even paying any attention. I'm be honest with you. I'm hard up about my stuff. I'm really stuck on what I came up with, what I came up listening to. You know what I mean? Yeah. The Cold Crush Brothers, Crash Crew. You know, to me, that was hip-hop right then, because you really had to do, like Grandmaster Flash says, you got to do research. And back then, you used to do research to find records, get old discarded albums and stuff like this, and take out a beat right there and put it together and make it sound like something completely different. Now you don't. Now you go in the studio, you make a couple of beats, you go in there, you say your mind, you're done. Back then, you really had to work, learn, you know, experiment, and really come up with your own thing. Oh man, what's that he cutting right there? You know what I mean? And you know, that was the fun of it. That was the mystique of it. You know what I mean? Who could come up with something unique and different? And now you can just go ahead and program your own thing. I'm not downing anybody that's doing that. I'm just saying, if you're right, Kev, it's not the same.
Yeah, it's not. The art form is not the same, because you know, guys used to be in their houses, meeting somebody's house, and be in their room, and be in a little project apartment room with a dude with a DJ setting it, and dudes be practicing, you know. And now guys go on the stage with 700 people, you know, and just be jumping up and down. But it's a different. Yeah. But it, you know, me and my business. You know, I deal with them both. You know, I like the youngins now. You know, they got a lot of energy. They making more money than what the older guys. That's the only thing that I feel bad about, is like the legends like you guys. They, you know, they be trying. You know, we don't do this in hip hop like they do for rock and roll. Like, they should have Hall of Fames for all the legendary dudes, the brothers that was in the graffiti, the brothers, because the gangs be created hip hop. You know what I mean? And created hip hop. The graffiti created hip hop. And the MCs created hip hop. They should have a Hall of Fame, not just like the hip hop Hall of Fame that they have now for basically the ones who made records or that been in how you would say the public eye on television some type of way. There's a lot of unsung heroes like you, man, and you know, like Ray Vaughn, and like people don't even know Andre Harrell as Dr. Jekyll. You know, people just know him as Andre Harrell, and he's with Puffy. People don't even know he was Dr. Jekyll, you know, rhyming on it.
That's
know?
True.
A lot of people. And, you know,
that's
these
true,
guys are
Kev.
People. You know, so it's like a lot missing. There's not a DJ like Spivey that was gonna be doing cartwheels and backflips and breakdancing and DJing at the same time.
That's right. That's exactly right, Kev. That's right. Spivey was doing a little everything.
And I don't think that I'll ever be able to do. Maybe if somebody heard me say it now, some dude would be, "Oh, yo, that's dope." But he did it when nobody believed in what we was doing. Like you said, your moms was thinking it was a wreck. Did you think that it would be to where it's at now? Back then, when you were in the park with Champ and Jazz with the Fantastic Four, did you think it would be to this day?
No. We didn't think of it that way. Because in our world, it was always going to be like that. You know what I mean? In our world at that time, it was always going to be like that. It was always going to be, you know, our little crew sitting at Brian's house. Brian Lucy, God bless him. And we would sit up in his house, man. And, you know, I pretty much didn't touch the turntables. You know, I just didn't have it in me to be a DJ or a rapper, even though I could have been one if I really wanted to. I mean, I had, you know what, to be honest with you, man, one day I went over to Alonzo Brown's house, and I was just talking at him and see how he's doing. And then he asked me, he said, "John, you used to do graffiti, right?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Man, you think you can make me some flyers and stuff like this here?" And I was like, "Oh, man, you want me to make flyers here?" Yeah, you know. And so guess what? I was going in another direction. It just wasn't in my card. You know what I mean? And, you know, just to think how, you know, that could have led into something else, you know, just by me participating like that. And you know, I didn't go forward to it because I'd rather have done other, you know, little silly things, you know, where he was focused, you know, on what he wanted to do. Matter of fact, one day I asked Lonzo, I said, "What is it, man, that makes you do what you want to do? I mean, you know, what is it that got you, you know, wanting to do, you know, your stuff that you're doing now?" And he said, "John," he said, "I'll tell you, man, determination." He said, "John, when I got into this, I was determined that I was going to make it." And I'll never forget that. He told me that, you know what I mean? And as you can see how determined he was, look at him. Turned around and made a life for himself. A legend in hip hop, you know, a pioneer, you know what I mean? And you're right, Kevin. I appreciate the show that you're doing, man, because there's a lot of the brothers that just like him that don't get the recognition that they deserve for really bringing this thing forward to what it is today. They laid down the foundation for what we see now in what they call hip hop, rap, or whatever they want to call it. But yes, they did. They laid down the foundation.
No doubt, John. Now, you know, we did a good 45 minutes with you, John. You gave me a lot, man, a lot of good stuff. But I just want you, you know, because I know you're a changed dude now from all of that. You know what I mean? I know you got God in your life now. I just want you to pass a message to the youngers about where you came from, how you started, and how you changed it, what you want them to know, something that we might not touch up on.
Well, let me tell you this. First, we have to realize and understand who's in charge. We are not in charge. The Most High God is in charge. He's in charge of everything. He runs everything. Good, bad, evil, short, tall, skinny, fat, the air, the sky, the water, the ocean, everything is all his. And he's in charge. And he runs this. And once we understand that and respect that and give him the respect that he deserves, and you do that by just thanking him. Get up every morning and just say, "Thank you, God." You ain't got to get down there and say a three-hour going, you know, like Gilligan's Island, a three-hour tour. You ain't got to do all that. You know, that's a simple thank you will do. And, you know, once we get that down and understand that you know, that the Most High God is the one that rules all this, you know, it'll be a lot better for you. You'll be surprised just by saying thank you. That activates him. That activates him, and it sets things in motion. You know, and you know, if it sounds like I'm preaching, I'm not. I'm just saying this is where I am now. You know.
Break it down. You ain't preaching.
Yeah.
But, you know,
and
that.
Yes, sir.
Now, go ahead. Continue, John.
Yeah, and, you know, if you have an idea or something that you want to do, you know, don't waste time. You know, go out there and do it. You know, it's easier said than done, I know, but if there's something that you want to do in your life and you got a goal, you got an idea, something you want to do, go out there and pursue it. Ask questions. Don't worry about what a person may think or whatever. Ask questions. There's somebody will sit down with you and talk to you, just as we just talked about tonight, how we have plenty of opportunities to ask any question that we wanted to, you know, we wanted something that we wanted to learn. You know, go out there. You know, stay away from the drug thing. You know, just stay away. Just don't do it. You know what I mean? It's out there. It's designed to destroy us. And once we realize that and understand that stuff is out there to destroy us, you know what I mean? Then, you know, you just avoid that and stay away from it. We got to, because if we don't, man, we all going to die. If we don't stay away from this, we all going to die. And that's the thing that we got to realize. We got to realize that it's out, it's us. Nobody wants to help us, Kev. Nobody cares about us. We out here fighting this battle ourselves, and we're going to have to do it ourselves with making sure that we got the Most High God behind us. Once we do that, once we give him the props that he deserves, he will lead us in the direction that we need to go. And that's the bottom line. It may sound cold, but guess what? That's the way it is.
Listen, bro. I thank you, man. I thank you for the talk, man. For all of y'all that might have missed this show live, you know what I'm saying? You will see this will be, and this whole interview will be part of the film, The Uncelebrated Pioneer, with my homie Johnny Davis himself and some of the legends that we talked about. You will hear all of their stories in this documentary, which is already in a lot of film festivals. The trailer is already in a lot of film festivals already. So, but the full movie is going to be dropping in the summer. So definitely, John, man, thank you for coming through, man.
Well, Kevin, let me just say this, man. I'm proud of you, man. I'm proud of you, man, for doing what you're doing, brother. I'm very proud of you, man. Thank you, man. Thank you for allowing me to come on, man. I'm very proud of you, man, doing something with your life, man, something that you love doing, man. I appreciate you, too, man.
Thank you, brother. All right? But, you know, I'm about ready to play some music you don't like.
No, it's not that, but you know, I'm just kind of stuck in my era, man. I just feel that quality of music was better. Yeah,
I got it. It's all good. But you know, I got a wide audience, so I'm gonna play this new YG featuring Tiger. We're gonna shout out to my man Johnny Davis. Like I said, make sure y'all check out the documentary. We're gonna do this Beef Stew Radio. We live. Let's go, y'all.
Slide on a nigga with the fofo. Yeah, fofo. Slide, fofo. My bitch so loco. Go loco, go loco, go loco. She bust that ass like a low low.
Bust that ass like a low low.
My bitch go loco.
Go loco. Aria, Aria, Maria.
Slide on a nigga with the fofo.
Go loco.
I put you in a choke,
go loco, go loco, go loco.
I put a track on for show,
show, show, show, show, show.
I like it when you touch the flow. Call me for dick, not Geico.
Call my phone when you're horny.
Hey, mama, see the hay, mama, see the hay. Drip too hard, don't drown in the way. She told me to handcuff her, give her no escape. Bad little hyena, puta behave. Red lipstick, black outline on it. You leave me the clues when we fucking and you blowing. You want a real nigga who got real shit in motion. I want me a Wilhelmina bitch to bust it open. My bitch go loco,
go loco.
Aria,
Aria, Maria.
Slide on a nigga with the fofo.
Yeah, the fofo. Slide, slide, fofo.
My bitch so loco.
Go loco, go loco, go loco.
She bust that ass like a low low.
Bust that ass like a low low.
My bitch go loco.
Go loco. Aria, Aria, Maria.
Slide on a nigga with the fofo.
Slide, slide, fofo. Go loco.
I'ma
a badass mofo.
Go loco, go loco.
When she wanna get right, that's a no-no.
That's a no-no, big no-no, big no-no.
I don't need the police at my front door.
No popo, no popo.
And my house party going till 6 something.
House party going till 6 in the morning.
My cup got lipstick on it. Bitches wanna put their lips on it. Sweet, wanna lick on it. Wanna taste, eat it up like a strawberry. Ice in your mouth, let it melt like Ben and Jerry. That tongue so fine. She want me to herself, said it's all mine. Left out of town, said I'm always on your mind. You don't wanna fly alone, next time can I come? Bye, bitch, go loco.
Go loco,
Maria,
go loco,
Maria.
Slide on a nigga with the fofo.
Yeah, the fofo,
slide, slide,
fofo.
My bitch so loco. That's like a lolo.
That's like a lolo.
My bitch go loco.
Go loco.
Maria,
Maria,
Maria.
Slide on a nigga with the fofo.
Go loco.
Go loco. Me tiene bien loco. Bien loco. Bien loco. Me entra la pastilla con la coda y por loco. Por loco. Por loco. Me lo mama hasta que se le sale los mocos. Los mocos. Los mocos. En el carro me chinga y por poco yo choco. Yo choco, yo choco. Like YG, wanna boricua pussy. Yo quiero una gringa, una hoe. Bitch, no huele perico, my. Mejor huele tussi. El nuevo en el jacuzzi, me mama el bitch.
María, Juanita, latina morenita. Tiene toto negro, pero por dentro es rosita. María, Juanita, latina morenita. Tiene toto negro, pero por dentro es rosita.
Papis con loco.
Maria,
Maria,
Maria.
Slide on a nigga with the fofo.
Yeah, the fofo,
slide,
slide.
My bitch so loco.
Go loco, go loco.
She bust that ass like a lolo.
Bust that ass like a lolo.
My bitch go loco.
Go loco.
Maria,
Maria,
Maria.
Slide on a nigga with the fofo.
The fofo, slide, slide.
Go loco.
Shoes on I'm taking when that nigga, I fucked around and cop gal. Go rock out shows now. How many hoes now? How many fake ass niggas that they roll, yeah? But they told, yeah. Bitch ain't race, I still ride they clothes, yeah. Wrist on froze, yeah. Credit card got it on show my toes. Now show up and show. How many more mean? Bitch ain't green. Then you wanna pray head, yeah, that's me.
Oh, yeah.
Bitch on the baby hood, baby, yeah, the king. Rockstar got cuts my jeans. They been so lit, she pop her bean. How many hell this shit gon' bring?
Shit,
how many more nigga ass gon' change? Bitch, I pop it everywhere, that time pay.
Bitch,
got it on O-D. B-A-B-I-E-A. I'm the real hood.
The real one.
Bitch, it's tatted on my neck. I laced it up in my Nike shoes and ran. Look what check got monkey bullets. And it's thick, and it's taking off your neck. Shots in the middle might hit a foot. Talking real crazy, he caught a dip. Now she bitch, booty bitch, you thought it wasn't real. It's tatted like cannon, I caught her F-O. But make a move, don't give me no love. Superstar steady, got hoes in the belt. Keep shit trill, boy, you ain't real. Everything going on like a motherfucking hell.
From the project, it's the project to stop your progress. Keep you obsessed with fancy objects. To crack your third eye, it's the process. It's a hot mess. It's out here for a melanated nigga. I say meditating nigga.
Homie, I invoke the dead homies on the other side to bring this shit back alive, back alive, alive. No one really died. You sound hurt, all you do is complain. You the face of the niggas ain't shit campaign. Seven circuits in your brain, you addicted to pain. Addicted to the chemicals that get released in your veins. Just let your soul go.
Turn
You put your personal favor on your economic green.
This pot smells delicious, and it's the base for our ultimate beef stew. Now we're talking about beef stew.
Beef stew. Try this beef stew. Try this beef stew.